Welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business, each week bringing you unique business stories and information live on BBS Radio. Every business has a story. Every business has something to say. Let me help tell the world about your unique business. Radio Tony Everyday Business, live each week. Good evening, everyone, and good morning, Australia. Well, actually, it's lunchtime. You're back with Radio Tony and Oksana Johnson. And just a reminder, Oksana comes from Russia originally, via Singapore, and now in Australia. And this week, we have the pleasure of talking to her again. Now, she's an NLP expert. So this week, we're going to be exploring the subject of NLP and how Oksana has developed her practice and what that's meant in her life. So, Oksana, good morning.
Good afternoon and good evening, everyone. Nice to be back.
It's fantastic to have you back. Oksana and I were just laughing before the show because there's anxious moments while you wait to get connected to the live show. And I find it incredibly anxiety producing, even though I know that without fail, Don gets us on the show each and every week and live streams us wherever we've got a live stream. But I can tell you that Oksana and I are madly text messaging each other going, yeah, yeah. And finally we're on and we're live. So Oksana, just briefly go over your story from last week to remind listeners where you've come from and what you do, and then we'll get into our wonderful discussion about NLP.
Of course. So just a little recoup of the story. I arrived to Australia, Sydney, in 2008. I kind of came to study to do my bachelor, and then I forgot to come back to return to Russia. But the story, I guess, now it's definitely going to be the really concise version of the story. Not even the one that I mentioned last time. But my NLP, what it means to me, it's just a catalyst for a self-discovery journey. And the discovery of the sense of identity, really. NLP can be so many things to different people. It really depends what it means to you. What happened to me, it was really, I've struggled with depression and anxiety through my 20s. Yeah. So, and the way that I've experienced clinical system, I just really always felt that it was a Band-Aid effect. Unfortunately, the root cause was never addressed properly, and it was just masking the symptoms in a way, and it was just never all of the solutions that were offered by professionals. And don't get me wrong, clinical system absolutely deserves the right to exist, absolutely. Just that I don't believe for all for one cure, one for all, other way, one for all cure. So for me, it was a Band-Aid effect. It wasn't sustainable at all, and that's why I kind of embarked on a journey of discovering, how would I be doing things differently? What was missing for me? What can I do better to create a better version of myself for myself and for one, like for people around me, you know?
Yeah.
So ultimately, at the very right time, at the right place, I came across the concept of NLP, which stands for Neuro-Linguistics Programming. Yes. And ultimately, there are a couple of parts to the journey, but ultimately from the first experience, I just, the way I would describe it, I haven't felt so clean ever in my life. Like the entire headspace, the entire everything just became so clear of what to do with this, how to live, you know, how to be better. And that kind of triggered the whole experience of looking after myself, but then also being able to help others. And you know, it kind of that grew from helping friends of friends, and then it just kind of exploded in a sense of, well, NLP is such a powerful tool, and it's not rocket science. It's very simple, but yet so effective. And that's why when we came back to Sydney, I never looked back, you know, decided not to get another corporate job that I would hate. And I took a leap of faith and established my little private practice online. And that's what I do. And I haven't looked back. So that's me, little story.
Oksana, what people might not realize is that depression and anxiety leave you with a bit of a brain fog. So it having experienced depression and anxiety myself, it's kind of a little difficult to explain, and for those who've never experienced it, but it's like there's a fog settles over your life. It like dulls your brain and dulls your experiences and takes the beauty out of life, doesn't it?
Oh man, like you're talking and it hits so close home that I'm starting to get emotional, because it's exactly what you were saying. We all have very different experiences, you know, like, and your reality might be very different from my reality, and even compared to what's going on and with people listening to this now. But ultimately, and this is, I think, what really prompted me to do something more with this, that if I only had someone then when I really, really needed it, you know, to kind of just hold my hand or just be there with same experiences and just more to tell me that, you know, you're okay, cupcake. Just hang on there. Whatever you're experiencing, it's totally okay. You know, and this is the beautiful thing about humans, is that that's what we are capable of. We are capable of experiencing the entire range of emotion. And how cool is that? Yeah. It's just a matter of, there is such a big stigma about depression is, you know, it's sad, it's bad, it's whatever it is, but it's actually not. The reason why it's there, your body is trying to tell you something.
Slow down.
It's just a matter of creating that awareness. That's right. Like, I would never, I think there was such an enlightenment almost moment for me when I saw, what's his name, Jim Carrey, and he described it in such a way that whenever he said it out loud, I was like, oh my God, this is exactly how I felt all of this time. It's like when you're depressed, what your body needs is deep rest. And that deep rest can be very different for some. Some people need just to stay in bed all day, and that's okay. Some people need to isolate from other people because they, you know, their cup is literally empty. There are so many, again, ultimately, if we kind of like bring it down back to basics, is just acknowledging the fact that you are okay, you matter, you are worthy, you are enough. And all of those things, they come from beliefs, because sometimes, especially good old negative self-talk, right? But the reason why all of those things are there is because you've been programmed without unknowing, unconsciously, through your past experiences, through your... you know, the good old family, you know, we love them to bits, but not necessarily they think that they want the best for us, but they don't know, because only you know your life. Only you know what matters, what's important. And it's your life. Like, ultimately, I always say it sounds a bit harsh, but, you know, I am pretty harsh. I think after the last show, you kind of realized no, but seriously, like, in a sense of, like, we... Well, I mean, okay, not harsh, straightforward, okay. Maybe I think, you know. It's, we come into this world alone, and we go from our world by ourselves as well. It's like, to live yourself and your life for someone else, I think that's insanity. Yes. And this is something what we are conditioned to do through our traditions and cultures. And ultimately, you know, traditions, they're just peer pressure from dead people. Yeah. And it's just something how we, you know, perceive information ultimately. Yeah. But you know, and whatever you've just mentioned, Tony, the descriptions of how we feel and how depression might feel to you and what you experienced, and I totally can relate in terms of brain fog as well. It's just this.
And I fought it for so long. Like, I think I fought it for 20 years before a kind GP sat me down and said, your brain is telling you enough. You need to stop, rest, recover, get some therapy, and you probably need some medication. And that was the first time that I started to accept that what I thought was normal, that dull darkness that surrounded me most days, was something that I could do something about, and that other people didn't live like that. You know, I thought that that was, you know, my normal.
Yeah, exactly. The baseline. It's kind of like, what's your baseline for existence, right? Very interestingly, again, like, even with what you shared, it's going back to those three A's, right? The awareness, acceptance, and action. And this is so often, and we've mentioned about this last time, last week, when we skip the acceptance bit. And as soon as we know something is up, we just, because we're such a society of like, despite the fact that we're human beings, but we're just designed in the way and encouraged by the society we live in the moment to be human doings. And we always, you know, go, go, go and do. And what's happening even with the entire COVID situation?
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And again, like this is a whole different tangent of what we can talk about, you know, what you believe in terms of that. But it's all about, we are our worst critics. And for some reason, this is the way that I think, you know what's fascinating as well? It's all a bit about how, you know, I'm Russian, right? And I came from that background that the mental health is still, people don't talk about it. People slowly are starting to immerse to be okay, because usually the way Russian people deal with, you know, with all the mental stuff, we just drink a lot. And not like, you know, a couple of glasses of wine because you enjoy the taste of an amazing, you know, Chardonnay or something. You just drink to soothe yourself. It's all about the state management. You know, it's very interesting, just kind of popped into my head. There's a very interesting concept of back before, I think maybe back before me, so maybe my parents' era, right? So before the smartphones and internet and all of that jazz, there was a concept of the stranger on a train. So people will know that they will, let's say, they are spending the entire night on the train, right? And there will be in a little coupe with like another person. And that was a part of therapy. People looked forward to it because they would literally come in, drink a bottle of vodka, share hopefully something good as well along the way, but they will never ask each other's names. They will have no idea where they're from, and that and that was the therapy that was acknowledged to be the norm, right? And that's why no one even really thought of going to see a therapist, or you have to drink with your friends, and then, you know, and then you actually still have to be friends after, because, you know, that's what friends do. And that's a very very high point, right? Like, not necessarily you will stay friends with someone, but the entire stigma around mental health, it's I'm glad that it's changing slowly, very slowly, and I wish that there is
it changed more quicker.
I think it all needs to start with much younger age, so through our education and schools, like the entire I think, you know, the self-awareness, and, you know, everyone is aware meditation, everyone is aware self-care, but I don't think it's treated as the baseline for existence. I don't think it's good
enough. I agree.
Let's put it this way. I think there are so many problems in our grown-up life just because we don't know how to, we don't know. And that's the thing, remember, we've discussed as well, you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And that's just the, you know, oh, and again, it's quite interesting because for you, like, you've had your kind GP that mentioned it, right? For me, I've kind of, I just realized, well, for me, it was the NLP concept and the NLP family that I've met. But see, it's all about, we are humans, we're collective. It's so important to have that energy rolling, to educate each other and to support and be kinder to each other, but ultimately to start with ourselves, because you're the only one you've got, like, and if you're not being nice to yourself, then you know what, RuPaul has an amazing saying about this, and he says, like, if you can't love if you can't, something along the lines of, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love somebody else? And this is just like, ta-da, like, you know, drop the mic. This is the whole, you know, the bottom line of relationships, because there are so many broken people that are trying to create codependent relationships. Anyway, I'm going on another tangent as well, but it's all awareness, guys. It's just,
it is just
listen to yourself, allow yourself to feel. It's beautiful. And then, you know, just come talk to people. And they find your community. That's another thing I think we mentioned. It's okay to unfollow people in real life. If it's not serving you and if it's exhausting, well, fuck it. Just don't do it anymore. Like, what's the point?
Yeah. Because life is short.
Exactly.
It's too short to be surrounded by people you don't enjoy. Why do that? And even if they're family, why do that? Family doesn't mean you have to be with them. It doesn't mean you have to have a relationship with them. It is your life, your decisions. You are in control. You get to make the decisions about who you allow in your life. You get to make the decisions about the conversations that you have in your head. And probably like Oksana, it took a major breakdown for me to realize some of these concepts were really, really important, and that they'd kept me trapped in a life that wasn't my best life for a very long time. So Oksana, we all know, or we've heard of NLP, and we all know that that means neuro-linguistic programming. But perhaps not so well known is how this sort of therapy works and helps others.
Yeah, okay. So just kind of to break it down, as I always say, that it's not rocket science. It's very, very simple. So ultimately what it is, neuro-linguistics programming, it describes and it analyzes. It's a form of psychotherapy, right?
Yes.
So, and what it does, it translates the patterns of your mind, so the patterns of your behavior, of your language, the way you speak to yourself and others,
yes,
habits, anything, of actually the patterns that you run in life. So yes, the repetitiveness of everything that and anything that ever happened to you, if you obviously you're aware, if you do it long enough, it becomes a habit. We all know that there are good habits and bad habits, right?
Yeah,
it's all about how you work with those things. Yeah. But ultimately, so just to break it down a little bit, neuro, it's the brain, right? And that's exactly mind and body connection, in a sense of anything and everything, all of the emotions that yes, are happening in your body, it creates a chemical reaction in your body,
yes,
through the hormones that are released by your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how, like, we can talk, like, I talk about it and it sounds so long, but it literally happens within a second.
Yes.
The linguistic part, that's the good old language. And again, not necessarily yeah, how we talk to others, but more importantly, how do you
how talk to ourselves? Yeah.
That internal dialogue. And programming, it's the repetitiveness. The more enough you do things, it's going to create results in your life. And there are some yeah, things that are holding you back, right? There are yeah, some things that are great, you know, when you have good resourceful routines, and that's something that I look quite a lot at, especially recently with the whole COVID situation, is creating new resourceful routines. Just to kind of, I think, jump back into the entire story of like how it was created. The, yes, as a form of psychotherapy, and the reason why it works and why is it so powerful, basically it's been created by the concept of modeling behavior that works, right?
Okay.
So it was created by two gentlemen back in early 70s. They were both students in the Santa Cruz University. Yeah. One guy is John Grinder, and he was the professor of linguistics. And yes, the other guy, his name is Richard Bandler, and he was actually a student of the Gestalt therapy at the time. So what they've done together, because they would notice a few things, right?
Yeah.
And the entire NLP was modeled by the excellence of three professionals in the psychotherapy at the time.
Yes.
So the first one is Virginia Satir. And yep, she was a family counselor, family therapist. And what was fascinating is the way that she could create rapport with all of her patients. And it's she was a very, 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 very big, like tall, very, very statured. I don't know. Like she was just a very, very tall yes, lady, right?
Yeah.
But she could find and she could be on the same page with little yeah, kids. And like simple things, how it would be done, you know, she would change her body language. So instead of being overwhelming and being up there, she would actually kneel and she would make eye contact, creating that rapport, right? And also the way that she would ask questions. So having that yeah, constructive conversation. The second gentleman, it was Fitz Perls, and it's just the father of the Gestalt therapy. And Gestalt, I think it's kind of, you know, creating a little bit of a craze word at the moment. It's all about the sequence right, of events. So let's say, remember when you walk down the street and you smell, and there's a bakery and you smell yes, the smell of apple pie. And it, like that memory, that's a gestalt. It brings you exactly to the moment when you were sitting in the kitchen at your grandma's house.
Yes.
And then you even remember, you know, the color of the shoes you had. So these yeah, are the good gestalts, but also there are things that can trigger bad memories and you go into a, like in the spiraling down motion as well. That's gestalt. Yeah. And third, last but not least, for sure, it's the father of the hypnosis, so Milton Erickson. And he was using it in a clinical way. Just again, the way particular phrases and words in a certain order were used, how you can communicate with unconscious mind and how you can get into a certain state. Ultimately, the entire NLP as a psychotherapy form, what we do is we are communicating with the unconscious. So just to give you a bit of a breakdown, monkey brain.
The unconscious, I was just going to say the unconscious brain is quite different from our conscious brain. Yeah.
That's absolutely. So I refer to it, the conscious is the one that judges, analyzes, perceives. So whatever is happening at the moment, we're having a good old chat. That's all happening from conscious brain. And conscious is only 5%. Mm-hmm. It's only it's kind of on the surface. If you imagine the iceberg, everything is on the surface, that conscious. Everything, the vastness that's underneath, that's the unconscious brain. Unconscious brain is the one that controls your body in a sense of, it sends signals to your brain with the hormones and just the body operational system. Because like, just think about it. You don't remember to breathe, do you? It just happens. You don't remember to swallow. You don't remember to digest. This is how powerful your unconscious is.
Unconscious brain is
95%. But also apart from the fact that it controls the body, it also stores all of your memories and all of your experiences. Like, you know, sometimes you would have a dream and that's where the unconscious is at play. And you're like, man, I have no idea how that happened. Like, and I don't remember, but it's there because you remember everything. And that's the beauty of communicating with unconscious through the right set of questions. Because only you know what you want. Because only you know what matters. It's all about, you have all the answers. You just need to have proper facilitation in place to have that constructive conversation with your unconscious mind. And just to kind of to finish the little pyramid, right? So conscious, unconscious, and then it's going to be your higher self. So some people would refer to it as a soul. This is your higher conscious. And then also how we all are connected. It's the collective unconsciousness, right? Mm-hmm. It's all on different layers, you know, but it always fascinates me how ultimately we're all connected in this beautiful
big. And so NLP works by modifying behavior in at an unconscious level, yeah?
That's right. So the way it works is changing patterns of behavior.
Yes.
So changing the unresourceful patterns that are at play. Because ultimately the way the NLP formula, the way it works is we find out where is that you are now. That's your current state. Then we identify your desired state. And it is where would you rather be, right? Like what's your dream? What do you want? And then ultimately the reason why you're not there is because there is something that's holding you back. And those are those interferences that we're able to clear with certain techniques. Some of them are conversational, some of them are visual. And also what we can do is to build we can enhance that state. So we can build resources through that gestalt and through those memories that are already there, or we can even create something that's imaginary, but if it means a lot to you, It's we underestimate the power of our beautiful brain. That's all I can say.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So as soon as you let go and you just experience it once, and I'm sure if you're already, if you guys are meditating, visualizing, whatever, manifesting, it's all of those big buzzwords as we discussed last week.
Yes.
But it worked. Like if you can imagine it, you can have it in your life.
And create it. Yes, yes, yes. So does NLP, so we know there's proven evidence that NLP helps for your mental health. If you take it further, it does have an ability to help, say, business people that might be stuck with a certain behavior or something that they want to change. It's a powerful modality in that realm as well, isn't it, Oksana?
Absolutely. So NLP, the way that I look at it, it goes threefold.
Mm-hmm.
well, maybe like 3.5, 4, but like it's all about there is, and I'll explain myself why.
Yeah.
It's kind of same, same, but different. There is the state management, so the personal development side of things, the state management, mm-hmm. where you are able to control yourself. And this is where it is so useful with the clearing of the brain fog and just figuring out how to live with yourself. So state, I call it state management, right? Self, whatever, self-discovery yes. journey. So that's one field. The second field, it's all very, very goal orientated. So it's all very strategic. It's all about planning for the future. It's all about, this is what I want. It's goal orientated. Did I say that
yes.
again? Yeah, well, I'm going to say it again. So it's goal orientated, right?
Yes.
So, and it's all about what is it that you want? And this is a very good concept that I talk about as well. It's how do you eat an elephant? One little bite at a time, where you can chunk up everything big consists of small little things that are accessible. And ultimately the beauty of even planning, if you put everything in your head and you're just there, it still stays as a fantasy. In order for it to be a step closer to reality, you need to get it from there and put it onto paper. Or if you hate writing like I do, I just leave myself voice messages. Like do, or if you're very visual, that's when you do a mood board. Or a but ultimately it needs to come from your head out into space, right? So we've mentioned there is state management, there is goal setting. The third aspect would be, as you mentioned, for the business people. NLP is used quite significantly through sales team in order to how do you influence people and create rapport. And that's just welcome to good old communication. And when I said 3, 3.5, it's all about communication, not necessarily in business sense. But also with your people, with your friends, with your family. How do you actually, because the result of communication is the response you get, right? If you, and the lack of rapport can result in not what you want it to be in terms of you're trying to achieve something from your partner, so from your partner or from your relatives, and there is disconnect. It's just most likely because the message is conveyed in such a way that they are not understanding it. So you are not talking their language. And what it means, it's quite interesting, just modalities of how we perceive information, right? Because some people, ultimately, when we're born, we can perceive information in a more way of being auditory, being visual, being kinesthetic. And also the good old behavior that we learn along the way around our teenage years is the ID, internal dialogue, when we start talking to ourselves. Because actually, if you think about it, I don't think you've been talking to yourself when you were in kindy, because that is usually, anyway, that's a whole different topic again. But so communication, and it's all about using particular structure of words. You know, I hear you. I see what you mean. It's all about lists. This is for the ID people. But this is the third, whatever, three and a half aspect of NLP. So communication, state management, and goal setting. Those are the three major areas. But ultimately, it's almost like for me was life changed into before and after NLP, right?
Yes.
Because again, unconsciously when it's there, you can use it on an everyday basis. And I think the biggest realization for me was acceptance from, you know, after even the state management and just allowing, like life just can be so much easier. Like seriously, we put so much pressure onto ourselves. It's ridiculous and it's not worth it because as you said, life is so short. And you know, when you said it, what came to my mind was life is so short to drink bad wine. Like it's even shorter to surround yourself with bad people, you know? So
So can you give us, without breaching patient confidentiality, can you give us a broad example of how you've helped someone so that people can get an understanding of what you do every day?
So it's quite interesting. Very, very good question, Tony. It's let me give you, it's not even going to be fabricated, but this is just a very, very general story, right? Yeah. So usually majority of the clients that I have, they are females.
Yes.
But there is an occasional male there. But the majority of the time, because of being a life coach, right, or NLP, yes. NLP practitioner, people will come to you, to me. People will come to me for goal setting, right? And this is how we start work. So the first session I would have is to have that constructive conversation to identify exactly that, where you are now, where you would like to be, what's holding you back, and what resources we can build, right? And then after that conversation, I write up a little plan. Of what we're going to do. But it's so interesting because so many times, as I said, people come for goal planning, you know, like strategy of achieving things. Yeah. But no one is actually understanding is the reason why they're not there is because there is something that's holding them back. And usually the majority of those patterns would be of thoughts of behavior of I'm not good enough. I am shy. I am not good at public speaking. I am afraid of heights. I am nervous with the new people. I can't talk. I can't be in elevator. It's all of those things that it's all the belief systems, right? And it's like, then we start discovering how did this pattern actually come into existence? Yeah. And again, through just conversations, and the beauty of NLP as well is that I don't need to, like, I'm not going to torture you because I remember how it felt and it was shit. I'm not going to make you wail in pain. With NLP is communicating to the unconscious and literally going, like, remember those tests when they ask to tell you, don't overthink, just like go with the flow, whatever is coming
Whatever comes first into your brain, that's the right answer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the way it works is we don't even need to, if the client is not comfortable about discussing something, it just first of all that I haven't actually created a rapport and we're not there yet and it's totally fine and I'm going to respect that boundary because they're not ready yet and I'm not going to, you know, make them wail in pain because I remember how it feels. So we even can use a bit of cling language so we can just name things and symbols. We don't even need to know. I don't need to know what actually happened. As long as the client is aware, we can call them, I don't know, a cloud, right? What kind of cloud? It can be black, red, whatever it is. So we can be very, very symbolic. And we can create that story that represents their story. And then we know exactly how to address it. Because usually with those patterns that are holding us back, and, you know, it's all from our past, right? Because the future hasn't happened. But the majority, and this is when it's kind of ridiculous, but the good old question was like, so tell me about your relationship with your mother. But, you know, tell me about your relationship with your family. And we'll love them to bits. But, you know, there are some bits and pieces that are coming from exactly that.
Yes.
And
it's not about blame. It's not about blaming them. There's no blame. It's just this is what happened and it caused this little segment of thoughts in your brain and that's just what happened. It's not about blame.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought this up because it's all about it's your book of life and every chapter matters. And it's so important to actually read every paragraph and every word. And sometimes some of them are going to be painful and it's okay because it's ultimately made you the person who you are today. It's just a matter of using that powerful reframe of like not asking why it happened to me and not being a victim, but just ask what did it have to teach me? What did I learn?
What did I learn? Because,
exactly. Because ultimately you'd probably notice now when you go back and start analyzing all of those things, patterns, they're repetitive. And the reason why it's repetitive, it's because it's going to continue happening to you until you fucking do something different about it.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, right.
So, and this is kind of, so we address, usually the way I structure my sessions would be, as I mentioned, the first is a bit longer. So we were just having a very good chat. Constructive conversation. And then also my job would be to analyze what's been shared. And it's always a very safe space in terms of release information. And then there are so many different techniques that are, you know, they are just
that you have in your toolkit to help.
Exactly what works. Yeah. But the beauty of NLP, and I can't stop repeating it, is that my job is to share it. It's not like, you know, I will do something to you and that's actually a very, very good point. I'm not doing anything to you. I'm doing things with you. I am facilitating the journey.
You're
because
doing
it was
the work.
Your journey.
Your brain is doing the work. You're just facilitating that journey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Client's brain is doing the work. I'm just facilitating the journey. And it's all about the sharing their tools, because that's how I got, I guess, hooked on NLP in a sense, because they are tangible tools. We will experience the exercise together during the session, but then I also will share the exact exercise with you, so you know and you can add it to your self-care routine. Lots of things are so good to do at the beginning, like at the beginning of the day, to set up your brain, and this is good old state management. But then there is also lots of good hypnotic inductions, for instance, that are beautiful to do right before you go to bed, because that's when
to
your brain
is... To help put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, and it also rewiring unconscious, because that's when, remember, unconscious is at play at nighttime, and that's when the brain can be rewired.
So do many people need help to attach to that unconscious brain? So it's not something that we can generally do for ourselves until we've been taught by an expert.
I can't say taught. I think it's kind of like what comes to mind is I'll show you the way, you know, I'll show you the way to go, and then you can experience the journey on your own. But ultimately what helps is but when we close our eyes, when this shuts down, that's you already, you don't see it. So you're already much more connected. We do a little bit of body-mind connection, and just it's kind of like
That was exactly popped into my mind. I need to ask you about the mind-body connection.
So the way that I would work, it's very, very similar to, and I think I mentioned it as well, there is a very, very good example on this of the induction on my website that you can download for free. And what it does, basically, you are connecting with your mind and body, creating awareness. Again, I think we've mentioned last week as well, remember good old when we wake up, when, if it's not then, the perfect time to ask yourself, so how are you feeling today? Before you jump out and start asking that everyone else, just reconnect with yourself. And usually it's all about the breathing, right? And we probably know the guys out there who are practicing meditation already. It's all about connecting through the breath, because that's when you can control the length of the breath, right? And then in and out. But also what I really enjoy doing, and sometimes it's a bit hard to do straight away, but to locate your heartbeat. And if you can't if you can't do it just as is, it's going to take a little bit of time to practice. Just place your hand, whatever, place something that you can feel your heartbeat, because that's you. That's literally the power and the life source of you. I'm actually doing it. Pretty cool. But also you can feel how, you know, in terms of, if you're prone to anxiety, right, you know that it's elevated. You know that you're going to be breathing at the top of your lungs rather than at the bottom. And that's when, as soon as you create that awareness and you accept it, that's when you can start taking action of actually slowly how the heart is going to be slowing down as well. Mm-hmm. And as soon as your bodily functions are slowed down, the head, guess what? The head space is slowly starting to soothe as well. This is good old mind-body connection. If only I knew this in high school, life would have been so easier.
I have to, last year I went to Bali for a women's retreat, and for the first time I experienced the sensory deprivation that they have in the float pools, where there's no light. And there's just you in a body of perfectly body temperature water. And I'd never done it before, but I remember the profound feeling of my heart beating, and to be able to feel that in the whole of my body, in the absence of any other sensory of any description. So no light, no noise, just that warm body of water, and to feel your heart beating. And I remember after that session, and they did say this, but I didn't actually believe that it would happen, but they said that once you've experienced that for the first time, you will have one of the most deeply relaxing sleeps ever. And actually, it was true. And it was simply from that deprivation of sensory overload for a period of, I think it was an hour or an hour and a half. And it's so good for your brain. Who knew, Oksana? Who knew? I didn't.
It's so interesting. But if you think about it, this is what we've humans created now with technology. But just have a think for a sec. Back in time, that's what we used to, and we still do it. We just go camping. We go to nature. Unconsciously, we need this. We long for it. We need to connect to the sounds of nature where there is no, you know, no excessive light, no excessive sound, no excessive screen time. We've kind of done this for centuries. This is just, you know, eliminating that experience on steroids. And this is when you feel it. Like, you know, it's like, wow, this is it. But ultimately, this is what we do. Like, I am the same. I need my peace and quiet. If I don't get my peace and quiet, I'm just not a very good person to be around. And I used to not know that. And I used to be cranky. And I just because had no idea what the fuck is wrong. Like, I just, I was like, why are you so cranky? Just stop it. Yes. And I'm like, no, don't stop it. Like, everyone else needs to fuck off and I need an hour of peace and quiet. Mm. And it's like, this is how I structure my day, because I understand, like, that just sounds very childish if I just do it out of nowhere in the middle of the day, right? Another very, very good point of that is when people don't know what they don't know. People cannot read your mind. If you do not communicate what's happening and why you're doing what you're doing, people always think that this was your baseline of existence, and then all of a sudden it's not like that. It's changed. Do you remember that humans, we don't really like change, right? Because it's not being controlled. But this is when it's so important to bring it back to basics and just learn something about yourself. Like, you know, just relate to yourself in a different way. And this is what I've spent, I think this is kind of how I refer to it. In my 20s, I've really tried my best to learn how to deal with my headspace. And after that, in my 30s, where I am now, I'm kind of taking it a little bit one step further and taking it a bit more. How do you live from your heart? How do I live from my heart? What does it mean to? And it's still work in progress, but, you know, this is kind of slowly where the journey is taking, which is, you know, but all, what you mentioned is you need to do for yourself what you need to do to be a better version of yourself for yourself and for the ones around you. That's just kind of the compounding effect of energy. This is kind of how the cookie crumbles, really.
It's really important for people to recognize that they are unique humans. And just because one person loves and enjoys interaction, and I think this is probably why Oksana and I just resonate so well with each other. I'm like Oksana, and I actually need time away from people, and I don't like big crowds. And for a long time, there was a script running through my head that said there was something wrong with me because I didn't like crowds and I like my own company and I like to be alone, until I realized that that's what makes me unique, and that you need to understand and embrace what makes you unique and do you in the first instance. So I need to quarantine time that gets me that downtime that I so desperately need. But for other people, that their what fills them up will be big gatherings and people and noise, and that's okay too.
Exactly. I think
there's power in understanding intimately who you are and what drives you and what you need to be the best human you can be, and then accepting that that's who you are and putting boundaries in place to make sure those things happen for you, because I'm like Oksana and tend to get a little bit grumpy when I don't have my downtime. That's perfectly okay. I am Tony, Oksana is Oksana, and you need to do what makes you the best human, and it will be different for every person. So part of being an NLP therapist and working with people across the world, you still do your ability to connect with people via Zoom, say for someone in America, NLP is not affected by that distance. Like, you don't have to physically be in the same room as someone to help them with these, with using NLP.
Not at all. Very good question as well. It's actually quite interesting you ask. The majority of my clients, they're still global. So currently I have two girls in Germany. I have a guy in Pakistan.
Yes.
I have a few girls in US, and a few in Singapore. And slowly, just because we came back not that long ago to Sydney, I'm slowly growing my base. There is actually one lady in Sydney, but I would love to, and it's funny enough, she's in Melbourne. Here you go, that's why it's on Zoom.
She probably needs NLP if she's living in Melbourne at the moment.
It's quite interesting, even with the, like, my point was, even the lady in Sydney, I'm even doing her sessions on phone, not even on Zoom. So to give you an example, it's like, it's all about finding the most suitable option for yourself. So clearly, if you're obviously over distance, we can do video, we can do phone call. Usually what happens, sometimes people are comfortable just to make sure that we both exist, to have our first session on video. And then usually people would choose, especially if it's a like early morning and that's their exercise time, they could go for a run and I can be just talking to them,
basically,
very good session. So it's all about flexibility. But to answer your question, no, you don't need to be in person. In person, it has a little bit of more, as you could imagine, energy. It's a little bit easier to create rapport, just to get onto the same page. But the way that I work, and it works really well, is that I offer the free discovery session. And what we do, we jump on and we actually understand, and it's not necessarily about whether you're a good fit for what I do and whether I can help you. Most importantly, and I cannot stress enough, guys, if you decide to work with a therapist or a psychologist or anyone, coach, you need to like them. Like, you really need to like them, because you don't have to hate your coach.
Absolutely.
See, and when I say that, you can relate, because the couple of practitioners I had in my 20s, I was assigned by Medicare and I fucking hated them, because the guy was a dick and the lady did not give a shit about me. And I'm like, why am I here? So this is when you just need to be picky. You need to know what you want. You need to understand whether, you know, even after you having your first conversation, whether you click. Because if you don't like someone, do not, like, it's not a good idea to force, you know, like, it's not something like, oh, it's going to grow, you know, we're going to grow on each other. It's like, no, like, don't do that. It's and then in terms of the Zoom sessions, there are, everything can be adapted. It's all about, again, good old communication, right? So everything that we talk about, all of the exercises, I'm going to be explaining lots of things and a bit of housekeeping rules, you know, how, like, what to expect. And if there are any questions, usually we discuss everything before we proceed. But again, people underestimate the power of the unconscious mind. Majority of exercises are done with closed eyes because it's an internal visualization. And also it's all about symbols. And as soon as you, if you've never done it, honestly, it just, I need to probably, I'm happy to share some examples, but if you've never experienced it, I think you should, like, and this is like, I hate when, you know, it's your life. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. But I actually think you should. If you've never experienced visualized eye visualization or like a guided meditation or induction, you really should. Like, you need to be very careful, again, whom you choose, because even like, I am a great supporter for Headspace, right? But as you know, guys who use it, there are two different voices, and then there is one voice that I cannot, like, I just cannot. And it makes me so angry and irritated. So it's like, what's the point of doing meditation that you hate, right? The same was so interesting for me was all of my friends, they use Calm as an app. Yes. And for me, because because they use nature sounds, it's so annoying. And I'm like, it's not for me, see? And it's okay, because, like, you know, someone loves dripping water or birds. I'm like, no, let's not go there. so to answer your question, NLP, there are no boundaries and no borders for NLP. Can be done on video, can be done on call, on just voice, can be done in person.
Yeah.
But again, even in person, it's not like there is no physical touch really. There could be a few for anchoring, but like those even anchoring processes, you can do it yourself when I talk you through it.
Yes.
And I think another takeaway from that, guys, just be very, very picky and very, very curious and careful with.
I was actually going to reiterate what you'd said, Oksana, because again, from my own personal experience, it actually took me quite a while to find someone who I felt was like on my team. And that's what you should have from a therapist. You should feel like they are on your team and on your side and have your best interests at heart and offer you the things that will help you. If you find that you're interacting with someone and it's not a pleasant journey, I can still see some of the psychiatrists that I've spoken to, and I swear to God, they're not nice people. And again, government allocated. So you don't have that choice. But if and when you do have that choice, pick people that you like. And if you don't like them, keep finding someone that you do. And I guess that's the power of Oksana, who has a free catch-up call just to see how you go and just to talk about what you may need to talk about and see if you like what Oksana offers. Yeah, and that's on her website, which is just simply oksanajohnson.com.au.
Just dot com.
OksanaJohnson.com. And there's a little button there. I can see it in my, I can visualize it. It's a little button, a free discovery call. And that way you get to meet Oksana and work out how she can help you. And if not, she is perfectly happy to let you go on a discovery mission and find someone who works for you. And any
or even recommend someone.
Any good therapist, if you go back to them and say, look, this is not quite working, ask them if they can refer you to someone, because there's a simple statement of fact is that 1 in 7 people that you meet, you will not like and they will not like you. And that's human experience. So be very careful with who you allow to help you bring out your best self. And I can only highly recommend Oksana and Oksana's practice, because you know I know and have been talking to her for a while now, and I believe that she is very balanced in her approach and will absolutely get you to the point that you want to get to with whatever it is that you want to get to, and be that in business, life, help with sales. Goodness me, you know, there are so many people out there who make you cringe when they try and sell you something. Now, wouldn't you like to be that salesperson that everyone talks about and says, wow, they were so good and da-da-da? NLP. NLP can help you with that sort of stuff. And so, Oksana, before we run out of time again, I was actually going to ask. I know. Like, it just goes so quick.
Yeah.
But before we run out of time completely, I just wanted to say that some of the things that Oksana can help you with are those feelings of stuckness and sameness and those questions around why am I here? What am I doing? What am I passionate about? If you've got low energy levels or that dullness that both of us described, that dullness and that stopping of enjoyment in life. You don't want to be there, people. Again, a little story from my own personal bag of stories. I remember at the height of my depression that my husband and I went on a balloon flight, you know, the beautiful 6 a.m. floating across the air in a hot air balloon. And I remember thinking I should be so happy or why am I not enjoying this? And it was simply because I hadn't worked on some of the scripts that were running through my head and that were telling me that I wasn't deserving of wonderful experiences. I now have worked on that, and that's because I've had great practitioners, and some of which who have used NLP. Yeah. And I'm telling you, people, that it's the best way to walk through life. So just a reminder before we completely run out of time again, Oksana is oksanajohnson.com, and you can contact her from anywhere in the world and get help, get a free session to determine a way forward for you and get on that process of living your best life. And so we've got a minute left, and I'm going to hand over to Oksana because it is her fabulous platform. Over to you, Oksana.
Thank you so much. I think that was very, very fabulously said. And just ultimately, what I would probably wrap up for today is be kind to yourself. If you, yeah, you're the only one you have, so hang on there, cupcake, and that's it.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Oksana. Yes, we will be back next week. Radio Tony Everyday Business with Oksana Johnson. Back next week, same time. If you have missed any of the previous shows, please jump on to my YouTube site, BBS TV Radio website, and don't forget to jump on to Oksana's website, oksanajohnson.com, and we will be back next week with another session and with Oksana Johnson. Over to you, Don. Thank you, Oksana.
Thank you for listening to Radio Tony Everyday Business. Join us each week for another show. If you missed the live show, just jump on to radiotony.com, radiotony.com, and Everyday Business, talking business in a unique way.